Now, due to our brother's infirmity of eyesight, we're going to read the passage for him today in Romans chapter 16. We'll read the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 16. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for their life, for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia, unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsmen. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine.
Had a good Bible reading this morning, and we were talking about the fact that when Matthew got converted, he seemed to have a heart full of love for his fellow publicans. Luke says he made a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company. Mark adds there were many of the Pharisees, many of the publicans that followed him. It was an occasion of using hospitality, not only for the care of the saints, but for the care of sinners. And we suggest this morning that it would be a delightful thing if every one of us learned to use our homes and the blessings that God has given to us. We're all pretty well off, aren't we, in these days? We have sufficient to provide plenty of food. Here Matthew stands out in the Word of God, part of New Testament ministry, remember, to open his home, to accommodate his fellow sinners, in order that they might be brought to know the Lord Jesus, in order that he might be saved. Well, that's using our homes for the benefit of the ungodly. And it would be well and better for the assemblies if we learn to do that. The chapter we've read, however, in the Epistle to the Romans is a wonderful chapter, a galaxy of dear saints. There are men and there are women. There are masters and servants. There are free men and bond men. There are all kinds of people, and they were all in the assembly in Rome. And Paul, with his wonderful memory, guided by the Spirit of God, he gives us a chapter of salutations and comments, if you like, for all this large number of people. Go through the chapter, and he talks about men and many of them. There's some wonderful things to say about those men. They were from slaves to free men. They were poor and they were rich. But they all served the Lord well in the assembly. Assembly in Rome. When I come to hospitality, I don't know whether Matthew had a wife. Some of the apostles did. I don't know whether Matthew did. Anyway, he made a great feast. And he made it in his own house. Got a lot of folk there. It may be that his wife was very busy. Or it may be that they had household servants because he had a good job as a civil servant, as a publican. Or it may be he brought in other folks to do the entertaining. But he did it in his house. So here we have, in this chapter, a galaxy of dear women who knew what it was to use their houses for God. Not so much in liberality to the unsaved, but in care for the Lord's people and for the Lord's servants. I put that in that order particularly because the Lord's people are more important than the Lord's servants. Some of you might feel honored, I don't think you should. Some of you might feel honored if you had one of the full-time servants in your house. Pity the thought. They're poor, ignorant men, you know, at the best. But to have any of the saints in our houses is a wonderful thing. And this chapter will teach us what God thinks, what the apostle thought of the ministry of women as they cared for the Lord's people. The Lord's people and the Lord's servants were the object of their ministry. And you'll notice this chapter is like a little page from the book that will be opened at the judgment seat of Christ. But it's not my great preaching that's going to count, but our sister's love and entertaining of the saints that I judge will have a greater commendation than a lot of the ministry by the brethren. We'll talk about sisters this afternoon, and what the Word of God has to say about them. So the apostle commences with a sister, and he finishes with a mother. Phoebe, our sister, and then the mother of Rufus, his mother, and mine. Many of you sisters sitting here today, you are sisters, and you are mothers. God has given grace to you sisters to be mothers, and remember, brethren never can be mothers, in the literal sense. And with a world that is arguing today for women to be set free, no longer in bondage, let us look at the Word of God and consider that the greatest work any woman can ever do for God is to bear children, to nurse them for God, and to bring them to the Savior. There is no greater work, my dear sister, that you could ever do than that. That's what God made you for. Then that sublime service of sisters to open their homes and entertain the saints of God. I travel about. On occasion, I arrive in an assembly where I used to stay with a dear man and now his wife passed away. And I stay with a dear man now. But I tell you, it's cold comfort. You sit round the table and you hardly talk. The poor man's so harassed very getting the meals ready, and you just rough it together. That's what it's like if you get a man in a home alone. And as a servant of the Lord, well, I appreciate the ministry of women. You've got it here. A sister and a mother. I do not remember a mother. But I had one sister. Older than me. So she always told me what to do, of course. She was the senior of the two. But there's something about a sister that's full of love and care. She still calls me her wee brother. But a sister is not a mother. There is something in a mother that's lacking in a sister. So you start the chapter with a sister. You finish the chapter having come to the very top note, a mother. Remember, the Word of God is adorned with the Mother of Jesus, the most blessed of all women. This is verse 1. I commend unto you, this is a commendation. So for a change, I'm not throwing stones at the sisters. For a change, we are looking at the things that are so characteristic of womanhood that heaven acclaims them. And the apostle was thankful for them. He puts it on the page of Holy Writ. I commend unto thee, Phoebe, our sister. Understand, there's a definite article there. Phoebe, our thee sister. Of course you wouldn't translate it that way. Phoebe, our thee sister. I suggest to you that in Phoebe, you, as it were, look round the assembly at Thesprea, and you say, who's the most sisterly of all the sisters? Who's the one who cares the most? Who's the one the sisters could turn to for advice and on occasion weep on her shoulder? They say, you go up that street. It's the house of Phoebe. The sister. The sister. And you know, you dear young sisters, you know this, but on occasions in your life, whether you're single or married, occasion when you love to have a Phoebe, to weep on her shoulder, to tell her your trials and difficulties, to get godly advice from a godly woman. As a boy, they used to talk about mothers in Israel. And there are very few mothers in Israel today. Oh, that our dear aged sisters could adopt the cloak of Phoebe and become mothers in Israel. Women outstanding in the local assembly as women who understand and care, not gossipers, but godly women. I commend unto thee, Phoebe, our thee sister. Outstanding she was, thee sister. Oh, she didn't have an honourable title. No, no. She wasn't, as some suppose, a kind of a deaconess with a grey uniform. She was just an ordinary sister in the assembly with no earthly qualifications for what she did at all, but she loved the Lord and she loved God's people. They all loved her. Phoebe, our thee sister. My dear young sister, grow up to be a Phoebe. A thee sister. One who cares, loves, and understands. I commend to thee Phoebe, our sister. What was she? Servant of the church which is in Thesprea. So I notice there's a church in Corinth. Next door, there's a church in Thesprea. But it wasn't a sort of a little child of the major assembly, an offshoot of Corinth in Thesprea. No, there was a church in Corinth, and there was a church in Thesprea. And each of these churches separate, for all churches are autonomous, self-governing, responsible for their own worship and service and finance and ministry and government. And there were two separate assemblies, one in one place and one in another. Brethren, could we remember that? That I have no right to interfere with the assembly next door. No right to interfere with any of what things they do. They are responsible to the Lord alone for their own evangelism, for their own building up, for their own finance, and for their own discipline and government. There were two separate churches. Oh, the Corinth was a bigger assembly. That did not give them the right to enter into the business of Caesarea. They stood alone. Each assembly, one candlestick on its own base, with its light shining for God. That's the scriptural attitude to local assemblies. And there was one in Corinth, and there was one in Caesarea. Go there. Now it says she was a servant of the church, which is in Caesarea. And I go back many years in Scotland when a man who, I give a fair kind of ministry, but he got up and he said, well, now that means this, the word's bond slave, he says. And that means that Phoebe had to do what the brethren told her. She was a bond slave. Well, he was wrong in his grief. He was wrong in his interpretation too. So the word doulos, which would have the idea of being a slave to the assembly. Sisters are never that. Never that. This word is the ordinary word for service. Voluntary service for the Lord. And voluntarily she served the assembly in Caesarea. Servant, somebody says diakonos, that means feminine deacon. How we like to be official, don't we? We like to put pips up here, we used to say, in Britain, for the army, or stripes on your arm. We like to be important and call ourselves bishops and deacons and deaconesses. No, nothing official. None of those honours when you come inside the book. And we're all ordinary saints of God, and the bishops are just the shepherds of the assembly. And the deacons are just the servants of the assembly. And she was a servant of the assembly. And there would be many servants in the assembly, just like Phoebe, but not maybe of her ability to serve the saints. So all of us should be servants of the assembly. Anything that is necessary to be done in the assembly, we should all be willing to do. Can I repeat that? Every one of us that has ability to do something in the assembly should always be willing to do it. Not as sadly I saw in the South Wales not very long ago. I visited the assembly there, and outside the assembly there was a big iron gate that had to be shut when all the cars were gone out. And all the assembly went home after the meeting, and two old men of over 80 struggled to shut the gate. When it came to open the meeting next night, those two old men struggled to get their gate home, and all the young fellows went home in their cars. Shame on them. Servant of the assembly. And in every assembly there are things to be done that are mundane and ordinary. My dear young brother, do you think it's too small for you? We need young men that are willing to use all their energy and all they've got. The sense of care for the older brethren. They're able to do what they would, but they let the old men carry on. The young men just drive in their cars. Servant of the assembly, not bound to do it. Serving because they love the Lord. Servant of the assembly in Caesarea. What kind of service did she do? Did she take the meeting life? Did she open in prayer? Did you take part in the morning meeting? Or go to the table? But she was a servant of the assembly. But you would be well aware what Paul would teach the Corinthian assembly. That there were only certain things she could do in the assembly, and teaching and speaking was not her sphere. But that does not mean, my dear sister, that because you cannot teach in the assembly, teach as I'm doing today, preach in the assembly and so on, that you have nothing to do. Our sisters, our assemblies suffer because we think so much that preachers are great, and they're not, they're very ordinary. And the ordinary saints are what really matters in the assembly. And every brother and every sister, all doing our bit in the assembly, would make it a real success for the glory of God. Phoebe was a woman of that character, servant of the church, which is since in St. Rhea. Paul says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, servant of the church, which is in St. Rhea, that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Sisters in business. Business, it says. She wasn't going on holiday. She was going on business. But you say you thought that was just one of the diseases of the years in which we live, that women in business. But then, you remember, there was a dear woman who came from Thyatira, was it? And she was a seller of purple. I don't read she's got a husband, but I do read she's got a household. That must have meant she had a gang of workers to deal with that purple material that she sold, women in business. Please remember that women of Bible days were not, as some of my brethren would like to teach, ignorant. For there were women ambassadors in Bible days. The women of intelligence. Women who understood, but she knew her place. And she was a servant of the church in St. Rhea. And she had to go to Rome on business. Because she had to go to Rome on business, the apostle writes that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. So that when we commend a brother or sister from our local assembly to other localities to where they're going, we could tell in the letter of commendation what they were going for. We could ask the local brethren and sisters in the assembly they're going to assist them in whatsoever things they had need in the conduct of their business. What says in it? Your sister, in whatsoever business she hath need of you. Because, you see, she deserved the kindness of the saints in that way. To assist her in her new locality, in her new environment, in her new circumstances. She needed the care of local saints. Why, says Paul? Because she has been a succorer of many, and of myself also. A succorer, what's that mean? Go back to the book of Genesis, you know, thinking. Think of that man called Melchizedek, who came out to meet Abram after the slaughter of the kings, and he brought bread and wine. The man was tired. The man was hungry. The man was very deflated. Oh, he'd won a battle, but he'd got to face the enemy in the morning. He's full of fear. Melchizedek just came down and gave him bread and wine and ministered God to the man's needs. He was ready for the battle in the morning. This dear sister had ministered, oh yes, she had succored many. Brother? There were his sisters and brethren who had gone to her home. They were hungry, she fed them. They were tired and she prayed with their rest. They were deflated and she encouraged them. They were on the point of giving up. And she encouraged them to go on. She cared for many, succorer of many, and of myself also. I reminded them of great Jane Darby. And he went to a place in the centre of England and was going to have meetings there. Understand that the wealthy man of the air arrived with his coach and his horsemen and all the rest of it. It was a great show. And there was the big coach in the middle of the crowd, and Jane Darby arrived. And to stay with someone in the village. Well, where should he stay? Oh, the big house. The big house. And Jane Darby got out of the coach and he wandered among the company. He said, where is the dear brother who generally puts up the saints? The poor countryman from the outside of the crowd, he comes forward, says, Jane Darby, I'm going home with you. Listen, if you want to provide hospitality for the great among us, you must be ready to provide hospitality and care for the humblest, weakest saint. Phoebe was a succorer of many. Does the New Testament, in this entertaining business, some have had the pleasure of entertaining angels unawares, yes, but only because they made it their habit to provide hospitality. And it just happened that angels dropped in at Abram's door. But he knew how to provide hospitality. He used to it. And if you want to entertain the great among the saints, you have to be prepared to care for the humblest saints. Succorer of many and myself. What a thrill it would be for Phoebe. The night she made the bed for Paul. The night she served his supper. And the night she provided his breakfast. Gave him a word of encouragement before he went away. What a day that was. But she could do that for Paul because she'd done it for the others. My dear brother, my dear sister, you will be able to do that for the greatest saints. But your apprenticeship, shall I say, is the poorest saints. She has been a succorer of myself and of others also. Next passage is most intriguing. It brings me to my next woman. Priscilla. Six times mentioned in the New Testament scriptures. Three times in the Revised Version. Priscilla and Aquila. Three times Aquila and Priscilla. With the perfect balance of the Word of God. The Word of God never teaches that sisters are inferior to brethren. The perfect balance of the Word of God. We each have our particular part to play in life, but not one inferior to the other. So, three times one way, three times the other way. Balanced ministry. Priscilla and Aquila, or Aquila and Priscilla. Paul had met them. They were workers together. The Bible says they were tent makers. Priscilla and Aquila. They'd moved about in various places, for you read of them in various places in the New Testament. But they were workers, who doubtless got down on their hands and knees together, and their fingers would be cut, and their hands would be gnarled, and making tents out of skins. And that was their business. Paul had been with them on a number of occasions. To say them now. He says, my fellow workers at tent making, yes, fellow workers in the assembly too, for they had been in Paul's company and a number of places where he had been serving the Lord, and they had put their backs into the service of God. My fellow laborers. Are we like that? Fellow laborers? When some brethren are coming to take some gospel meetings, are you fellow laborers? Come on, brother. Or do you wander in the hall just about the time for the meeting to start? And you're too that lazy to sit on the seat and sleep. And you're glad to get out the door directly things done, and you don't labor in the assembly at all. I don't want to be offensive, but I want to shake you, brethren. I was not so long ago in a place where there was two assemblies. One assembly was conducting a series of gospel meetings, and one of the brethren in that assembly came to my wife and said, Mrs. Gooding, would you be prepared to stop behind with the preacher, because there might be some women folk staying behind who want to be... Mrs. Gooding, would you be prepared to stop behind with the preacher, because there might be some women folk staying behind who want to be counselled about getting saved, and we want to make the thing seemly? Listen, they couldn't find one sister in their meeting to do the job. Not one sister in the meeting prepared to sit by a brother when he was talking to somebody about the soul. Yet if you'd have talked to those sisters, they would have said, yeah, oh, we're all fellow helpers. When I stopped behind with my wife on that occasion, come out, all the local brethren had gone home except three. And they thought they were fellow helpers. They hadn't even the gumption to stop and pray. Fellow helpers? That's what Paul said they were. Standing with the brethren in the open air, yes. Knocking on the doors round the streets, yes. Making sure that they made every woman who entered the building feel at home. All the things you sisters could do without violating Scripture. Fellow helpers in Christ Jesus. Brethren, you could learn that too, couldn't you? You could learn that. It's not a case of coming to the hall and going home. It's a case of praying before you come, praying to the meeting, and being ready to do everything you possibly can to help through. You want the business to be a success and win souls to Christ. Shake yourself! Something you can do for God. Fellow helpers. Paul looks back. He says, for my life, they lay down their own neck. Don't know what it was. But Paul could look back in his experience. It must have been quite early on in his Christian experience, for this is quite an early epistle. Remember the time when his life was in danger, and Priscilla and Aquila had been prepared to sacrifice their lives to save his. For my life, lay down their own neck. How much they were prepared to do for God. Challenge is, how much are we prepared to do for God? How much are we prepared to suffer? Lay down their own neck, risk their lives. Save Paul's life. Notice, please, the word is in the singular, though it's in the plural in King James Version. It is in the singular. Who for my life laid down their own neck? Now, away with that old gag. The man's the head and the woman's the neck. That's not in the book. Here these two people had one neck. They were so much one. Husband and wife working together for God. So much one. But I notice it's Priscilla and Aquila that lay down their own neck. It's Priscilla first here to tell me. It tells me that when that occasion of danger came, it was Priscilla that took the move. It was Priscilla that took the lead. It was Priscilla that had the dare and the courage and the bravery to save Paul's life. Maybe Aquila just checked on behind. There are occasions when our sisters shine, you know, aren't there? I remember in Scottish history, when Claverhouse of the English forces was moving through the part of Scotland where I live, his dragoons killed one of the Covenanters, and Claverhouse picked up the corpse. He said, "What do you keep thinking of your man now?" Talking to a Christian godly woman there whose husband had been massacred. She says, "I thought a great deal of him when he was alive. I think a great deal more of him now he's dead." She faced Claverhouse. Brutal Claverhouse. She got it here. A woman leads a man in this attempt of daring to save his life. Notice two lovely things that come to mind just in this connection. You have in your hands, brethren, the epistle to the Romans. You owe it to a sister. You say, "But Paul wrote it." Oh yes, but Paul wrote it. But Phoebe carried it. He carried it possibly at the risk of her life. He would have gone down to the port in Corinth. Some of us have been there. Seen the ship's about to leave, and a little man there, surrounded by some very humble folk. And then somebody comes and hands him a roll of parchment. Phoebe. And he secretes the roll of parchment within his cloak, and he goes on board. He's got the precious documents of the Roman epistle without which none of us could preach. And there was a sister that carried it to Rome. Wonderful sisters in the Bible. What did that know? Says Paul, "It's Priscilla and Aquila unto whom I give thanks." He said, "You, Paul, thanking a sister for carrying a letter and thanking her sister for risking her life for you." It's only a sister you could sacrifice her, providing we save Paul. Now Paul considered it his privilege and responsibility to say thank you to Priscilla. He says, "Unto whom I give thanks." Don't be slow, brothers and sisters, to thank a Christian for what they do for you. I know they do it for the Lord. You thank Him. But they do it for you. And they deserve and need a word of appreciation. Here this dear woman had sacrificed her life to save the Apostle Paul. Paul's humble enough to say, "Unto whom I give thanks." He had something more. He says, "And also all the churches of the Gentiles." If Paul had been martyred or killed those many years before, there would have been no Pauline epistles in the New Testament scriptures. Think of what we should have lost if Paul had been massacred in the early days of church history. Priscilla and Aquila, Christine, what a debt we owe to the woman Priscilla, who led Aquila, saved the apostle's life, under whom I give thanks, and also all the churches of the Gentiles. Every one of the churches of the Gentiles owed a debt to Priscilla for saving the life of Paul. Well then she was such a wonderful woman, was Priscilla. It says, greet the church was within the house. You like that, my sister? You know, on some muddy, wet, dark night, they hold the assembly meeting in your drawing room. Here come all the brethren soaking wet, with all their feet covered in mud, and they go all over your carpets and upset all your chairs. You like that? Oh, we are like a change of art, right? But normally, listen, it says the church met in her house. There are no gospel halls in those days. No public buildings in which to gather. Often they had to hire such a place at the public bars in order to have a public meeting. Here was her house. The church met in her house. And please, when you have a church meeting in a house, that is the whole church in the house, and the church should always meet as a whole and not in separate parts. And when the church meets in the house, it doesn't mean you do as you like because you're not in a hall. It means that in the house you obey church principles of the Corinthian epistle just as you might would as being in a hall. They had no hall to meet in, so they met in a house and they carried out Corinthian church teaching. And the church met in the house. There was all the upset of the furniture to allow room for all of them to come in the house. They were clearing up when the church that was in her house. What a woman. It would allow everything to be disturbed in her house. Just for the sake of the Lord and the Lord's people. What a woman. Priscilla. Go on from there, and I mustn't keep you all day, must I? Go on from there, no? And I read, greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Some translators will say, greet Miriam, that bestowed much labor on you. And there's a duck. We'll take it both ways. Greet Mary, or Miriam, that bestowed much labor on us. Now, Paul had never been to Rome. So that meant he's saying that I met Miriam somewhere or other. Wherever it was I met Miriam, she bestowed much labor on us. That would be in some other place, some other town. Or, greet Mary that bestowed much labor on you would mean that Mary was an inhabitant of Rome and she was characterized by a Phoebe ministry. She had been bestowing much labor upon those saints of the local assembly. That be the case, her work was so good and commendable that Paul had heard of it from a distance. Heard about Mary, who bestowed much labor on the saints. Public commendation, my dear sister, would that be you? The saints know your name. Paul hadn't been a Rome. He knew the name of this woman. She was a lover of the saints. She bestowed labor on the saints. They all knew her. They all loved her. You like that, my dear sisters? Characterized as that kind of woman? Notice, please, the word labor. We talk about missionaries. Laborers in the foreign field. Home workers, and then what Frank Knox called me once, weekenders. Three kinds of servants of God, shall we say? Missionaries, oh, they're great guys. Home workers, well, of course, they're great too. Weekenders, those that preach the gospel every weekend, and then the ordinary saints. Notice the Spirit of God takes the word labor. That we fit on the mission field. And he takes the word labor and he puts it in the kitchen. He says, now Mary washed dishes when she looked after the saints. And Mary cooked food when she looked after the saints. Mary darned socks and mended shirts and she did all kinds of jobs. In the home, in the kitchen, the Spirit of God calls that labor. It's going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Says Paul, she bestowed much labor on you. Hold that. Instead of saying, go labor on, spend and be spent, but you don't labor on with your arms folded. It's a tough job to labor on. My dear sisters, you may serve the saints and the Lord's people and be harassed and worried and don't know where to turn. Listen, heaven is looking on. And we'll give you the commendation that we say laborers you get. But God says that's labor. That's labor for him. Some more of these sisters. You go down the chapel and read three of them together. Greek Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. There are three dear sisters put together. You should examine what he says about them. It says, take the third one first. Greet the beloved Persis. Notice she's beloved, Persis, who labored, past tense, in the Lord. All her service is in the past. And because of all her service that is in the past, she's beloved. Then you can't distinguish, you look at the two others. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor, present tense. No past tense about it, present tense. There's no much about it. There was a much concerning Persis, but there's no much concerning these two other sisters. For the idea, the old sister had a ministry in the past, it was much. Because of that, the saints loved her. And she came to a point in her life when she said, now, I can't go on any longer. I remember that in my home. I had a godly grandmother who reared me. She put up many of the Lord's servants in our home. Then I went to the meeting one night. I was only in my early 20s. And they all agreed to have a speaker for a special series of meetings. And they even agreed to tie him. And then the problem was, who should put him up? There was nobody in the assembly to put up the preacher. I remember going home and telling my grandmother that, and she wept. She said, I used to do it, but I can't do it now. That's the beloved person. Got anybody here like that? My dear sister, your ministry is all in the past. It's a happy memory. Can't do it anymore. The beloved person, your love for the saints, and acknowledged by heaven, for God is not unmindful to forget your labor of love that you show towards the saints, in that you do minister and have ministered past ministry. How then says this? Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa. It doesn't say the beloved Tryphena and Tryphosa. It doesn't say they labor much. It only says they labor, and it's all in the present tense. What do I read into that? I read into that that the old sister could no longer do it. There were two younger sisters. Notice what they were, their names begin with? Try. Got it, young sister? Try. And these young sisters who looked on Persis with an awe, and they said, she served the Lord. We could never do that. Says God, try. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Oh, I know their names means odor and fragrance and so on. But my younger sister, there may be a need in your assembly to put up the Lord's servants or to care for the saints or to do a Phoebe ministry. Well, just try. Just try. When you try, you'll find it's not so difficult, and the Lord will bless you. One day you'll be able to look back, like Persis did, to a life of serving the Lord, and you'll be able to earn the title that she earned, the beloved Persis. And you could be beloved too, for caring for the Lord's people. For that, one old sister with a ministry in the past, two younger sisters with a ministry now that's going to go on in the future under the blessing of God. And then, time has gone, we must finish now. I come to the last one in the list. Seven sisters in this galaxy. What does it say? Salute the beloved Rufus and his mother and mine. This one seems to crown the chapter. His mother. Old enough that Paul called her his mother. For while Phoebe was a sister to Paul, the mother of Rufus was a mother to Paul. Think of mothering Paul. Think of mothering Paul. For the cold, serve him some hot medicine or hot gruel, you know. Mothering Paul, seeing it warm in bed. Mothering Paul, seeing that all the things that he had to make him better. Mothering Paul. The mother of Rufus, who could mother her own son, could mother Paul. You like to do a ministry like that? I remember, many years ago, I was a stranger to Scotland. I'd only arrived there a few months ago. I had an invitation to speak at a conference at a place called Tullycultry. Might have been the other end of the earth for all I knew. I went to Glasgow and then I went to the station. I got trained for Tullycultry. I don't know when I got a bus every half an hour. There's only two trains a day. And it poured with rain, and when I got there I was saturated through. When I arrived for the evening meeting instead of the afternoon meeting, I had to go there the next day to Falkirk, soaking wet. Arrived at this dear old Scottish woman's house. She said to me as I went in the door, she says, you'll get in the bed, you'll take your clothes off, and I'll make you some onion gruel, and you'll take it, you'll stop there before I get up. Mothering the young servant of God. That's the kind of people we need among God's people today. People who will mother the saints. Care for the Lord's servants. His mother and mine. Let's go a bit further than that, shall we? Remember, please, that the Epistle to the Romans is written to the Romans, and so that's elemental. Of course it is. But there's one of the Gospels that was written for Romans. Matthew's Gospel was written for Jews. Luke's Gospel was written for a Greek. John's Gospel was universal. But Mark's Gospel was written for Romans to read. Same people who would read the Epistles of the Romans. Romans. I've never looked through Romans now and find this word Rufus. Because this must have been Rufus, just to use a word like Rufus. Well, there might have been lots of Rufuses. So there must have been one outstanding Rufus that would readily come to the mind of the saints. Greek Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Mother and mine. Now that's the soldier. And he leaves the judgment hall. Saw him on the road to the cross. As he passed by, there comes a man who was a Cyrenian. And Mark had this, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Rufus. Correct. He puts that in there in a gospel written to Romans. So this was a Rufus. Did they know this Rufus? Could I suggest that this man Rufus, his father, was possibly the man who carried the cross for Jesus? Rufus, son of the man that carried the cross for Jesus. This Rufus could remember a father that carried the cross for Jesus. He had a mother that nursed the Apostle Paul. What a family. I may be wrong, I don't know. Only surmise from the Word of God that that Rufus must be the Rufus. The man who carried the cross for Jesus. The father, two boys, Alexander and Rufus. And his wife had the honor of the Apostle Paul coming into her home, and she muttered to him. I tell you, a home like that would make the angels wonder. Lift their wings as they do in adoration and praise at the wonder of divine grace that could allow the father to carry the cross and the mother to mother the chief apostle. Oh God, we thank thee together for thy word. For thou art so tender in thine appreciation of what men and women do for God. Remember, not only are the Saviour's tears kept in a bottle, but every tear that's ever shed on earth by the saints of God, kept in a bottle and preserved by thee. For the trials and the cares and the difficulties of life of thy people are ever precious in heaven. And we thank thee that in the glory there's a man that cares. His heart is full of love. We thank thee too that he has on earth women that care, the saints that love, and those that seek to help the Lord's people. Help us, we pray thee, ever in our souls to emulate these seven wonderful women of this chapter. And in it all, to follow the example of our Lord Jesus in his tenderness and love and grace. Remember, a man in the glory who constantly cares for his own. He careth for you. Oh, how we bless thee for Christ. Pray thee now, Lord, to part us with thy blessing. Take us home to our respective assemblies, we pray. And tonight, visit the assemblies of thy people. Bless thy servants, give power to thy word, and save precious souls, we pray, in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus.